Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello once again, everyone. I'm your host, Ray Shasho. Welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on BBS Radio. Brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. And by the Rockstar Chronicles Series 1, my new book, featuring over 45 intimate conversations with the greatest music legends the world will ever know. Available now at BookBaby.com and Amazon.com. Well, Martin Barr, the guitarist of Jethro Tull for over 43 years, his sound and playing was a major factor in their success. Album sales have exceeded 60 million units. They continue to be played worldwide, representing an important part of classic rock history. Martin's guitar playing has earned him a high level of respect and recognition. He was voted 25th best solo ever in the USA and 20th best solo ever in the UK for his playing on Aqualung. His playing on the album Crest of the Nave earned him a Grammy Award in 1989. As well as numerous Jethro Tull albums, Martin has worked with many other artists, including Paul McCartney, Phil Collins, Gary Moore, Joe Bonamassa, and Chris Thompson, and has shared a stage with such legends as Hendrix, Fleetwood Mac, Pink Floyd, and Led Zeppelin. Martin has put together a band to play the classic music from the Tull catalog. His band is a total commitment to give the Tull fans and a broader audience the chance to hear tracks not performed for many years. The band includes top musicians from a similar background. More recently, Martin has collaborated with original Tull band members Clive Bunker and Dee Palmer on a tour across America celebrating 50 years of Jethro Tull. On Friday, November 6th, the Store for Music record label will proudly release worldwide Martin's new album, a double CD affair entitled 50 Years of Jethro Tull. CD number one features Martin and his band doing live in-studio electric performances of Jethro Tull songs, both classic tracks and deep album cuts from Tull's earlier days, with new arrangements with Martin and his band putting their own stamp on their amazing songs. The second CD features Martin and his band doing their own new versions of primarily classic acoustic songs from various periods of Tull's legendary catalog. Martin and the band's take on all these songs is fresh, inventive, interesting, and of course, extremely well done. Please welcome English rock musician best known for his work as lead guitarist with progressive rock band Jethro Tull, Martin Barr, to Interviewing the Legends. Hello, Martin.
I'm exhausted. I can't believe all that stuff is me. I'm knackered.
That's only part of it.
I just want to go to sleep. All of that. That is so much stuff.
It is a lot of stuff, isn't it?
That's ridiculous.
I grew up with you, man.
Well, don't blame me.
Right? I'm telling you, I got to tell you, man, you know, I've been a Tull fan since day one. I mean, my entire life, basically. And I've said this many times, and I'll say it again, Jethro Tull will never be the same band without you.
Well, okay, I'm going to add to that, because there isn't a Jethro Tull, so there's no band without me. So, yeah, it's always a bone of contention, because Jethro Tull finished in 2011,
right,
and there hasn't been one since.
Yeah, it's the Ian Anderson band.
Because Ian can't be Jethro Tull without about me, and I can't be Jethro Tull without Ian. So there we have that paradox, and but it's good because, you know, he's doing good stuff, I'm doing good stuff, so we split the atom, and let's see what happens.
Well, I think you have the advantage. I mean, I talked to Ian several times. I love him. He's in my new book, of course. But I think you got an advantage on him now, especially with this new album. I mean, especially the first CD is incredible. I gave this album a 5 stars. If I give it 10, I would give it 10. I love it. It is incredible.
Well, that's very nice of you. I mean, the thing that happened is that 2018 was the 50th anniversary of Jethro Tull because the band started in 68.
Right.
And nothing happened. You know, the phone didn't ring. The record label didn't say, "Martin, we're going to have a huge party. Everybody's coming." There was no big, a book, no celebration.
Yeah, exactly.
TV, nothing at all. I thought, well, that's really strange. So I thought, well, you know, next year's my anniversary. 69, I'll have been with the band. It would have been 50 years ago.
Right.
And I'm going to put things right. I'm going to do something really special that really marks the anniversary and makes a statement. And I was disappointed that there wasn't a big thing in 2018. But it gave me a year to plan and plot and do this CD.
You got a huge tour coming up next year as well. I saw all the dates.
Why am I laughing? everything is being stockpiled. So,
right.
There's this mountain of gigs that have been postponed since March of this year. And I'm here. My suitcase is packed. My guitar's had new strings on it.
Good.
My fingers are road tough. And I'm ready to do concerts. We don't know what's going to happen. And I had my first gig cancel, a gig in April,
right,
in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when we're going to get back on the road. A lot of people say 2022.
Really?
I hope it's sooner, but it's in the lap of the gods.
I feel for you and all the other musicians out there because you guys thrive on live audiences, and it's got to be very tough for you guys.
Well, the problem with the arts, it's not vital work. You know, you can be a hospital worker,
right,
and you're right on top of the pile. You know, you're important with a capital I. Entertainment, we've got TV, we've got radio, we miss live concerts, but essentially we are put on the side, and I'm not saying it's a problem, we don't deserve to be more important than anybody else, but certainly in the UK we have no help, I mean zero help at all from the government, and the bands, the crew, the theatres, the clubs, we've got to survive, and not everybody's going to make it because, the finances are dreadful and there's nobody out there helping anybody.
It's a shame. It really is. I think we're starting, I'm in Florida. We're starting to come back slowly here with opening up entertainment venues. So.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I don't want to lose any of those places that I've played before.
Right.
But we're all linked together, it's a big family.
Yep.
We need each other, and we have to survive.
My old stomping grounds, I'm originally from the D.C. area, Ram's Head. You play there a lot, at Ram's Head Tavern.
Yeah, we do. It's one of the, it's a small venue.
Right.
But I love being there, and I have this real sense of loyalty with places that when Tull finished and I sort of pretty well started my career from zero.
Right.
But, the places that gave me that support in the early days, I'm going to be there for them for a long time. So Ram's Head's one of those places that it gave me a chance. It was successful, and I, going back there. You know, it's a great club. And, yeah, you know, I always repay loyalty with my full support.
Right, right. Yeah, Tall was huge in Maryland, D.C., you know, the ball, of course, Baltimore, but also in New York and Philly, you know, that whole hub there. You guys were like, yeah, you know, superstars, you know, and always selling out, no matter what, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, when we came to America, we first came to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. I mean, New York, the Northeast, has been a real stomping ground. You know, the fans have been so amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, they are across the states.
Mm-hmm.
But our strength has always blossomed from the Northeast and sort of spread out across the states. But yeah, I mean, it's a long career.
Mm-hmm.
And I can look at any place in America and have some strong memories and strong connections with it, you know, be it Florida, California,
right,
Texas, Montana.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've literally been everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's we've really had great connection with all the people in those areas.
Well, I've had a couple of your bandmates on the show. I had Dave Pegg on not long ago. Peggy?
Oh, right.
He's a nice guy. He's a really good guy. I like him a lot.
Well, yeah, well, he's in my top division of friends.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I have any divides, but Dave has been there for me.
Right.
And hopefully I've been there for him since I met him. And it's one of those friendships that will never end because, you know, we have such a great affinity and we've been through a lot together and come out of it very, very strong.
He does that festival. I think it's once a year.
Property.
Yeah, from Fairport.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool festival. And I had.
Yeah, well, they couldn't do it this year.
I know. It's a shame.
But it'll be back.
I had Doan Perry as well on the show.
Mm.
Yeah. Another good guy.
Wow. Well, there you go. That's two of my best friends.
I got a call.
About me.
I got a call after the interview a little bit later. I had a call, an accidental call from him, leaving me a message, and he thought I was the exterminator. It was pretty funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he had kind of a mouse problem or something. He was talking about.
Okay.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, Doan is a wonderful person.
Yes,
he's probably the kindest, nicest natured person you could meet on the planet. And I haven't spoken to him for a long time. I spoke to Dave Pegg.
Right.
But I think with the wildfires and
what
was going on, I think wherever Doan is, he's sort of hidden away.
Yeah.
Somewhere ultra safe where there's no telephones or internet.
Yeah.
But hopefully he's got water and food.
I hope so. My niece is in Colorado. And she's getting close to losing her home. It's only about a mile away from her home right now, so they had to evacuate. Yeah. And what's strange is, you know, BBS Radio. We're actually based in California. That's where the transmitter. You know, that's where everything is. And the station burnt down. They were in Paradise, California, and the whole town burnt down.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so they had to move to Lafayette, California after that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes the news in England occasionally,
mm-hmm.
but I have to say Paradise is one of the places that really made the news.
Yes.
It's dreadful. It's horrific.
That,
and we were in Australia
mm-hmm.
at the end of last year,
yeah,
and they had dreadful fires there, so we were in Sydney, and on days when you were allowed outside, because the smoke, you know, was all around the city. Anyway.
I felt so bad for those animals, the animals in Sydney, you know, the kangaroos and everything. You know, they were all burnt.
Yeah,
it
was devastating.
Yeah.
Devastating. And it's, you know, they're the innocent, you know, bystanders mm-hmm. of it all. Yeah.
Very sad. Well, I got to ask you, of course, when's the last time you talked to Ian?
2011.
Really? Wow.
When he got me and Doan in a room and he said he didn't want to play in Jethro Tull anymore.
See, I don't understand that at all. That doesn't make any sense to me, you know? I don't get that.
It does if you're Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
and Sherlock Holmes, his mantra was that if you exclude everything that is not, that can't be possible,
right,
whatever you're left with, however crazy it is and unbelievable, it must be the truth.
It must be the truth.
And, yeah, so, I mean, I just tell people that it was a shame. It was a bad business decision because, you know, but Ian, me and Doan and Dave Pegg, we all got on so well.
Yeah, exactly.
We had music in common. We were a family. There was no reason on earth to stop what we were doing. And so I just reflect on it as being a bad business move.
Right.
It's a shame, you know, but there were great concerts to be played, and they never will. And it's just diluted this brand, which was so unique.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you know, I'm not being pompous, but I keep the flag flying. I'm sure Ian does as well, but I'm keeping the soul flag flying by doing these concerts and trying to keep the music vibrant. Oh dear. Okay, hang on. You hang in there. My phone's dying. Give me a second.
Okay, no problem.
Wow. I'm getting through phones like there's no tomorrow. it's a difficult period, but you know, at the end of it all, we're all hopefully happier, more contented, and musically stronger people than we ever were. So, hang on, right? Give me. Oh, that one's bad. This is crazy. I've got these portable phones.
Right.
And all the batteries are going.
Oh, my gosh.
I've got to find another one. Give me a second.
Sure, take your time.
Yeah, but there you go. You know what? I'm a happy person.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got the best band I've ever had in my life.
Great band.
They are truly amazing musicians and nice people. So, you know, hang in there.
I'm here.
Hello?
I'm here.
Good. We're back to normal.
Okay, great. Wonderful.
So I'm in a good place. No regrets. And everything to look forward to.
Yeah, your lead singer there, Dan Crisp, is he going to be, is he on the road with you as well?
The basic core of the Martin Barr band is Dan Crisp,
right,
Darby Todd, and Alan Thompson and me, and we're sort of, you know, written in stone, but we're together. We play, we have different lineups for different tours, but
okay,
the basic band is the four of us, and then we add Adam Wakeman, who's Rick Wakeman's son.
Sure.
Who's been playing with us, is an incredible keyboard player. And then we've had Dee Palmer and Clyde Bunker, old Toll people. And then we get the two girls, Becca and Alex, on the road as well. So it's sort of, it's between a four and a nine piece band.
Right.
So it varies from tour to tour.
Are these the same girls that are on the second CD as well?
Yeah, they are. And they live near here. I mean, Dan lives close by.
Right.
And so they're all people I've met through living in this area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're phenomenal. They're great musicians. They've got great voices.
They do.
And, you know, we're just good friends. And I just think the way I am now is like going back to the 60s where bands just lived, you know, slept, lived, ate, performed. We did everything together.
Right.
And it's really nice. It's sort of an old-fashioned concept of being on the road where you know, you get a day off and everybody – do. It's never that situation where everybody goes their own way. You know, they're glad to get away from everybody.
Right.
We just do everything together. It's a really nice way to work.
What was the work ethic with in the Jethro Tull band? Was that tough? Were you guys very, very, you know, like hard nosed, you know, practicing and all that stuff, or you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've taken that with me. You know, I think that the work ethic was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
We put 100% into everything we ever did.
Yep.
And, you know, we sort of made entertainment out of, you know, we had a bit of a laugh. We did silly things on stage.
Mm-hmm.
But behind all of that, the music was
phenomenal.
Taken really seriously. I'm glad we had that work ethic, as you say, and I've taken that forward into what I do. You know, my standard for myself is beyond higher than anybody could have instead of me. I can't put it very well, but I set my own standard
right
as high as it possibly can be.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's what we did in Tull. You know, we were it was set in stone that the music came first.
Mm-hmm.
and that there was no second best. It wasn't allowed. You know, nobody wanted it.
Yeah, you guys are like almost like classical musicians. You know, how hard you guys. How serious you were about the music, and he came across that way, you know, really did.
Yeah, I think you have to be that way with music.
Right.
I don't think you can just sort of have a day off. It's a very physical thing,
mm-hmm.
and it's a very mentally and emotionally, you have to stay inside of music your whole life. You can't go on holiday and forget about the job. You know. Get away for a week.
Yeah,
it never happened. And,
right.
So famously, if I go on holiday, I've got a suitcase and a guitar.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm in the hotel room playing.
Yeah,
but it's what I want to do. I just can't step away from it. I don't want to. It's every day of my life is encompassed by music.
But Martin, you're definitely in my top 4 or 5 picks for the all-time great guitar players, and I really mean that. And I think sometimes you get a little underrated, but in Jethro Tull, you know, people look at Tull and they say, "Well, Ian's 50%." I would say you're the other 50%. I mean, that's just how powerful you are, and you bring rock and roll to the band. If there's no Martin Barr, there's no rock and roll at all.
Yeah. Well, I like to think that even at my age, I'm still a rocker.
Yeah, you're a rocker.
I just got such a passion for the guitar; it never tires. And you think, you know, you wake up in the morning. Cup of coffee.
Right.
I'm in my studio.
Mm-hmm.
Cup of guitar. But whenever I'm passing by, I can't see a guitar and not pick it up.
Yeah.
And I've been that way since I was 14.
Hmm.
And I'm eternally grateful that I still love it, and I can't analyze it, but it's just in my genetic makeup. But yeah, I like to think that whatever happened in Tull, I was a sort of gritty edge to it, you know, that no matter how, wherever the music went in its style, that in the middle of it, holding it down was the sort of rock edge, you know, the riffs and the power chords and the rock solos. So I knew what I wanted, and Ian appreciated and let me have that freedom to install it in the Tull's music.
Right. On the new album, you kind of expand your riffs a little bit, I noticed. I love that. On Disc A?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I want to have fun.
Yeah.
And sometimes, sometimes I want to go a bit left of center. And I mean, the main thing, I don't ever want anybody to come to one of my shows and think they know what they're going to get.
Exactly.
I love it when people say, meet them at the end, they go, "Wow, knew you were going to do that. I go, yep, that's the idea. You know, keep them on their toes. I don't want to be safe, predictable, repetitive. None of that is in me at all. I just want to keep things moving, the music moving, whatever it takes to make the music dynamic and powerful and to let it communicate to an audience.
Well, you definitely accomplished that in the new CD. What you were saying about being surprised, a couple of songs I was surprised from the early days, like Love Story. And also, yeah, I was surprised. And for 1,000 Mothers, I mean, I haven't heard those songs like forever.
Yeah, well, you know, I looked at them and I haven't heard them for a long time. And I thought, when I played, I'm like, yeah, that's a really good riff.
Yep.
And it's a good song and the lyrics are good and it's a great tempo. And you know, so we learnt all this new material. We spent a week in a rehearsal room, and it just sounded really good. It just sounded fresh and powerful. It was a brilliant. I mean, it was such a nice thing to do, and there was nothing that we didn't want to play. Nothing that wasn't a natural addition to what we played on stage. So they're good songs. You know, they're good riffs, they're good songs, and they're interesting, and they're fun to play, and hopefully they're fun to listen to.
Well, that's why I was thinking that you had the advantage over Ian, because these songs are fresh. Every one of these songs are fresh. Like, you haven't heard them before, you know? And just to come out...
I'm lucky that the early material was sort of so based around the guitar, so sort of fell naturally.
Right.
It was an easy job to play all the songs because where there's a keyboard part or a flute line, you can play them on guitar, and me and Dan can cover a keyboard part between us. It's so flexible, and nothing is missing. You know, in my mind, that there's nothing you don't go, oh, hang on a minute, where's that?
Right.
It's there, it's all there, all the information is there, and it works.
Well, the other track I was surprised was Back to the Family from Stand Up. That was definitely a favorite of mine. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
excellent,
yeah,
excellent.
It's a great album.
Great, yeah, great album. But the way you came across, you know, Love Story, to me, it a little bit, it sounded like a kind of a Spooky Tooth Bad Company version.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it is. It's a sort of, you know, progression. You know,
right.
Stream did songs like that. But they're great. You know, it's a very melodic progression.
Mm-hmm.
But it was recorded as a single. For the charts, and it sort of made it in a small way, but you know, I looked at that song and thought, you know, that can be really strong.
Yep.
And everything has earned its place in our set, and we've got a huge reservoir of songs that we could fall back on. I mean, we're really lucky, and I've got a book with all the songs that we can play live. And it's ridiculous. Probably 5 hours of music.
That's so okay with me.
Great, you know. we have every night before we go on, somebody say, should we do this tonight?
Right.
And, you know, everybody's trying to think, do I remember it?
Yeah.
And, we'll do that. And we can change. I love that flexibility. It keeps us on our feet.
Exactly.
I think it shows when you do a performance.
Yep, it's all fresh. Even New Day Yesterday was a little different. I like the way you came across with that one, too.
Well, when Joe Bonamassa was Tulsa support band, he played a version of New Day Yesterday, and I used to get up and play every night with him. And so that sort of inspired me to do something a little bit different, just sort of change the feel. It's a blues. It's probably the only blues that we play.
Mm-hmm.
It's really simple and powerful.
And of course, disc B is totally different. You got a lot of acoustic. You have the girl. You got the girl singing with they're great voices. I mean, you know,
I love them to bits.
Yeah,
they're so good. And initially on that CD, I was going to get guests, so I approached a few famous people who I won't mention, and I just thought, you know, it got really difficult and political, and you know, some people wanted part of the royalties, and others wanted to be flown over. I thought, no, you know, it's a guest. You know, if I did it for you, I'd just be there for you.
Sure.
And I thought, you know what, my. The people that matter the most are the people right next to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Dan, the girls, John Carter, they're my friends.
Yep.
You know, they live down the road.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know them, they're not famous, but they're just as good.
Sure.
And they mean more to me than all these sort of famous guest names that would have been. So I just thought, you know, look, that's what I need to do. It needs to be about me and my friends. They're great players, they're great singers, and I want them on my CD to make it even more special for me.
Well, one of the guys I think you said you admired one time, maybe in our last interview, was Leslie West. Was that one of your favorites?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Did you approach Leslie, or is that too many guitars?
I didn't get that far, because I knew that out of all of them, Leslie would do it at the drop of a hat.
Right.
So, I mean, I won't go into it, but Leslie was probably the one that I definitely would have loved to have had on the record.
Right.
But, you know, another time, hopefully I'll ask him and we'll do something together, but Leslie was a big influence,
mm-hmm.
and not so much an influence in my guitar playing, but just as a person, and, you know, his sound, his... the way he conducted his musicality, if you like.
Right, right.
The way Mountain communicated as a band, it was fabulous. And, I watched, listened, and learned, not just from Leslie, but from the rest of the band.
Mm-hmm.
And they were such a great bunch of people to be around.
Yeah, you had Felix. I'm actually friends with Corky Lang.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
We've had lunch together.
Oh, great. Will you say hello?
I sure will.
Give him a hug.
He's a good guy.
Oh, how nice. Yeah. I loved them all.
Yeah.
We toured together for a long time.
Exactly.
But they were a lot of fun. They were really nice people, and they still are.
The bonus tracks. How do you get the bonus tracks? You got War Child, Bungle in the Jungle, Heavy Horses.
Oh, yeah.
How do you get those?
This CD, I made it, and we sold it at gigs.
Right.
But, so it was a very, you know, limited edition, and I just wanted something that people who came to see the show had a souvenir that was unique.
Right.
You had to be at the show to get the CD.
I got you.
So this is sort of that same CD with the four extra tracks now available to everybody, but the four bonus tracks are from a DVD which is going to be available in the next month.
Right.
And that's a recording at the Wildy Theatre in Edwardsville.
Okay.
March the 18th of last year. And yeah, the DVD is going to come out. Again, it'll be just available on the website. I didn't want to, I just wanted to add something to this CD so that people had, you know, a bit more. And when I heard the mix of the tracks, the performance was good, and it sort of just added another dimension to it.
Now, on the second CD, with all the vocals, Dan, because it did sound different. Was there another singer on that?
Yeah, well, my friend John Carter's on The Waking Edge.
Okay.
And again, I had somebody in mind to sing that, you know, a famous singer.
Right.
And I thought, I chose John instead.
Okay.
Because John was, when I was 15, 16 years old, me and John played in a band in Birmingham. So we've been friends all that time. And I mean, John literally is my best life. right. ever. And he still sings and plays in clubs and pubs and bars. But he stopped. Music wasn't his career after school. But we've kept in touch. And I just thought, you know, to have John on my album would mean the world. And he sang it so well. I mean, his performance, I just love it.
He did.
And he was so happy and proud to be a part of it. And I hope that feeling between, the empathy between all the people playing comes across to the listener.
It does. It's wonderful.
Good.
Oh, what a great collection. But also, I just lost it there for a second. Oh, the instrumental, Home. What a beautiful track.
Yeah, yeah.
What a beautiful track, Martin.
Yeah. Well, it's from, I did a CD of, uh-huh. Of soul music. It's called Away With Words.
Right.
It's the first thing I did when soul finished back in 2011. So all my sort of favorite melodies. And I sort of combined, I wrote a lot of music to go hand in hand with these melodies.
Beautiful.
But, you know, Home's a beautiful song, and any song that transforms into an instrumental means that it's a great piece of music. You know, you don't need the lyrics
exactly.
to make it work.
Yeah.
It was just one of my favorites, this is a celebration of my 50 years of music.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful song. It's one of those songs I could listen to over and over again, you know?
It's a great piece of music.
Yeah. Slow Marching Band's another nice track. I really like that as
well. Yeah. Well, again, I recorded it as a bonus track for a CD a while ago. And it's a piece of the text. It's off Broadsword. And it wasn't a big number. You know, we never played it live on stage. I just thought it was a great song, so I completely deconstructed it and looked at all the keyboard parts. It's so clever.
Mm-hmm.
The music is so clever that Peter wrote for it, and then I had to transpose that to mandolins and bouzoukis and guitars. But it was such a wonderful thing to do. I had so much fun doing it. And then Dan singing it, the girls are doing backing vocals. It's one of my favourite pieces of music, and I was so pleased with the end result. And again, it's part of my 50 years. If I have to have something to show for that 50 years, that needs to be part of it.
I think you're right. Do you think Ian will listen to the album?
Yeah, I mean, I really hope so, because I'm proud of it.
Yep.
And you know, they're his songs.
Yeah.
You know, without his music writing, it wouldn't be there. It wouldn't exist.
Right.
So, you know, I really hope that I've done them all justice.
Mm-hmm.
And that anybody, including him, that listens to them says, well, I couldn't have done better with that song myself. Or maybe they won't say that. But it's for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I take my hat off to Ian,
mm-hmm.
because he wrote that music.
Yeah.
I might have interpreted it, but I still am playing his music.
Sure.
And you know, I'm humble, and I owe the writer of that music a lot.
Well, mission accomplished, man. The album is wonderful. You've done. You know, everything about it is fantastic. I love the way you split up the two CDs, and they sound, you know, they're very different. And
right.
What you've done to the songs are amazing. Very, very fresh. It's like hearing the songs all over again, brand new, you know? Like, they just came out, you know?
That's the idea.
Exactly. Martin, here's a question I ask everybody. And last time we did the last interview, I think it was your last album when we got together.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I gave that one a 5-star review as well. Of course. But I always ask everyone this question. I get some very interesting answers. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, you know, like the movie, to perform or collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be? Now, I'm thinking, There's a lot of people in your history, so it's going to be tough.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a two-pronged answer because, you know, the conversation we just had,
yep.
Most important people to me are my friends,
mm-hmm.
and that is the two girl singers, Alex and Becca, John Carter,
right.
The guys in my band, that they are more important than anybody, be they famous or not. So that would be the obvious answer, but that's boring, because, I work with them anyway. But I think the great songwriters, Stevie Winwood,
oh, yeah.
Don Henley,
mm-hmm.
Jackson Brown,
right.
Neil Young,
mm-hmm.
These guys are phenomenal, and in my dreams I will write a song as good as one of theirs. But, you know, I don't want to be on stage with the great players, because I've heard it, and I understand it, and I've been there, heard it, but the great songwriters,
mm-hmm.
Are immortal, and to share a stage with those people would be incredible.
Great answer. I asked Robin Trower the same question, and yeah. I thought he would say Jimi Hendrix, but he says no. I'd be ashamed to play with Jimi Hendrix. But
right.
So he said James. Yeah. He said James Brown. That was his.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's a big R&B guy.
I watched the movie, I thought I knew everything about James Brown there was to know. But I mean, incredible performer.
Yeah. Great movie.
Seeing him dance on stage, my goodness me.
Yeah.
I've forgotten how amazing he was. I mean, he was before his time in many ways.
He was.
He was on a level of Michael Jackson. I mean, I've got to be careful what I say. Upset people. But, you know, people like Michael Jackson were incredible on so many levels. Good. I agree with him.
But Martin, is there any new bands or any new music you like? Is there any new prog? I listen to a lot of new prog.
Yeah. Well, essentially no. Mm-hmm. But I'll give you one album. The last album that I bought, and I saw them play in England, and let's see if I can find. I'm looking at my collection up here of my best albums. They're called Del Grez. They're Belgium. They're from Belgium.
Right.
Del Grez. I think if you Google it, I might have a letter wrong. But they're incredible band. That they just have a sound,
mm-hmm.
that's like nothing else. I saw them live near me, and they have a euphonium. It plays the bass. It's drums, euphonium, and a guy playing guitar and singing, and the sound. It was just. I never heard anything like it.
Really, I'm gonna look them up.
So. If you Google it, you'll find them.
Okay, they're from Belgium.
I might have it slightly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But look for Del Grez, D-E-L-G-R-E-S, I think. Can't find their album. I'll probably worn it out. but it's cool. The singer's great, and it's very sort of ethnic African music.
Really?
But incredible rhythms. I think you'll like it.
Okay, I'll look
really
it up.
Good. And nobody knows them.
Yeah.
Nobody, a great drummer, but the euphonium playing bass, it's just phenomenal. Oh, here they are. I found it. This is the album. It's Del Grez, D-E-L-G-R-E-S.
Oh, Del Grez. And, okay.
And the album is called Mo Jodi. M-O-J-O-D-I.
I'll look it up.
Yeah.
Definitely look it up.
Try. I highly recommend it.
Yep.
That's the last thing I heard that I went, wow.
Yeah.
I like that. And before that, Narina Pallett.
Mm-hmm.
You heard of her?
No, I don't think so.
Narina Pallett,
right.
is How She Never Made It is one of the worst things in the history of music.
Mm-hmm.
She did an album called The Graduate, and it's pop music,
right?
But it's just great She's really amazing and never made it. She got passed by for no reason at all.
That's a shame, yeah.
It's a tough world.
It's a tough business. I was just talking to Deborah Bottom about the same thing, because she's been out since like the 87, somewhere around there, and you know, she never got a big break. She's a great singer. She's a blues rock singer.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, it's like the girls on my album, you know, they're world class, but they, you know, they play in a bar in Plymouth to 20 people.
Right. Yeah.
That's their gig. They come on the road with me in America, and that's the way music is. It's a cruel.
It is.
Cruel profession.
Yes, it is.
Where talent is probably, you know, at the bottom of the top 10 qualifications.
But Martin, you gotta buy. I had this guy on not long ago, Brian Bromberg. He's a jazz bass player. He played with Stan Getz, but he did an album called Bromberg Plays Hendrix. And they're all Hendrix covers, but they're all bass, no guitar, only different bass guitars. And it's fantastic. It is really, really good.
Oh, okay.
Bromberg plays Hendrix. Yeah, I think you'll like that. It's really, really unique.
Yeah, we did a swap.
Yeah, there you go. We just swapped.
We did a deal. Perfect.
Martin, you got anything else? We got the tour, hopefully, next year, if not the next year. And it's a big tour, celebrating 50 years of Jethro Tull. We got the new album, which I gave 5 stars. It's one of the best albums in a long, long time that I could say. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Anything else you got going?
Solo albums.
Yep.
I won't stop.
Do you have a solo? Are you working on a solo release? Or
I'm going to start in the new year.
Okay.
I've got loads of music.
Right.
That I'm going to pace myself.
Yep.
Because I think I'm going to have a lot of time off.
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll get you back on the show again, you know, if that happens.
Thanks, Ray.
Martin, thank you so much, man, for being on the show. I really appreciate it. Good luck with the new album, and I really, really hope you go on tour again soon.
We will.
All right,
thanks,
man.
Ray.
Take care. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Purchase Martin Barr, 50 Years of Jethro Tull, at the store for music, also at Amazon.com. CD number one features Martin and his band doing live in studio electric performances of Jethro Tull songs, both classic tracks and deep album cuts from Tull's earlier days, with new arrangements with Martin and his band putting their own stamp on these amazing songs. The second CD features Martin and his band doing their own new versions of primarily classic acoustic songs from various periods of Tull's legendary catalog. And it is an incredible CD1, CD2 collection. And I recommend it highly. One of the best albums I've heard in a long, long time. There's also some bonus tracks that I believe are available now. It also has War Child, Bungle in the Jungle, Heavy Horses, and Songs from the Woods as bonus tracks. For more information about Martin Barr and the Martin Barr Band, visit the official website at www.martinbarr.com. And also on Facebook, www.facebook.com/officialmartinbarr. Very special thanks to John Lappin Enterprises for arranging this interview with Martin Barr and the dynamic duo of Doug and Don Newsom of BBS Radio, for making magic happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, please contact me at interviewingthelegends@gmail.com. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Interviewing the Legends, with Ray Shasho for the very latest interviews, and they will come directly into your email box. And my new book, titled The Rockstar Chronicles, Series 1, hopefully going to be about 4 or 5 series out there. It chronicles truths, confessions, and wisdom from the music legends that set us all free. You can order yours today on hardcover or ebook at bookbaby.com. Featuring over 45 intimate conversations with some of the greatest rock legends the world will ever know. Thank you, everybody. God bless. Stay safe.
and keep on rocking.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com, specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on PBS Radio, Station 1.